Psalm 27, we'll read together the words of this psalm. The scripture says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to our hearts this evening for Jesus' sake. This evening I want us to think most particularly of the words that are found there in verse 13, where the psalmist says, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I want us to think this evening on what I am calling no words, but a loud message. May the Lord be pleased to meet with us and to speak to us. Let's just pause now and ask the Lord to bless this time, to bless our thoughts, to direct us, to make Christ more precious to our souls. Our Father and our God, again now we come into the time that thou hast appointed by thine own choosing for us as thy people to be in thy word and to consider again the things that revolve around the work of the Lord Jesus. Lord, it is our prayer tonight that thou wilt truly bless. We pray that thy Spirit will come and lead. We pray that thou wilt open our minds and hearts, that we might be a people that by faith do embrace all that our God holds forth to us as good for our souls. Bless us then, meet with us, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Again, I am entitling this time tonight, No Words But a Loud Message. The reason that I am doing so is because the first three words in our text are not there. I had fainted is not there in the original language. That is not to suggest that the words that we have here in the version that we hold should not be there. That is not the case. The words that we have in the King James Version do set forth the truth of the meaning. However, we might say that the term faint cannot be pinned down to an exclusive verb in the Hebrew. There is an implication, then, of a broad meaning here. How do we determine exactly what the psalmist is trying to say? If these words are not there, how is it that we are to determine what the message of this verse is? If we pick it up there just with those words, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, well, would not the context be then what we are to look at to suggest to us what the opposite side to that is? This evening, I want us to contemplate the thought of fainting, if you will. I want us to understand and to take this as our premise, as that which we will use as our point of operation for considering this scripture. I want us to understand, indeed, I submit to you that the personal experience of God's goodness in the person of the Lord Jesus is the cure for those fears of heart that bring fainting. Your experience of the goodness of God in Christ is the cure for what we might say is fainting. Now, what would we say fainting is? Well, if you'll offer me the opportunity, I will render a definition. We say we're back to things as normal. A definition. I would suggest to you this evening that when we have this word or the idea of fainting, we're talking about the inability to cope with life circumstances which oppose faith and the promises of God to which faith is attached. Let me say that again. It is an inability to cope with life circumstances. I can't get through. I can't go forward. I can't look up. I can't think. I can't operate. I just cannot go forward in life because of what I see as the circumstances that oppose my faith and oppose the promises of God that are connected to that faith. You say, no one ever sees that kind of thing. You're dealing with a subject that no man ever has to deal with. Oh, you're right. No man has to deal with this, maybe for a half an hour. Oh, how common is this, that men faint, that men consider in their mind, I just can't deal with this, I just can't go forward, I just can't. How common, how debilitating. Child of God, I tell you tonight, when you conclude in your heart, when you come to the conclusion and believe yourself that you just can't cope with what the Lord's allowed you to see, you're pretty good, or pretty well not good for much of anything. You're unstable. You're of no help to yourself. You're of no help to anyone else. It's a debilitating thing when you allow that which is anti-faith to rule in your heart. And I say, beyond that, how sad How sad it is for a child of God who has Jesus Christ, the glorious Son of God, as his Savior, to point away to his circumstances and say, this is the great controlling factor of my life. How sad. I'd like to have us consider this subject and to answer a question maybe. How enters faith? How enters fainting? The anti-faith. How enters fainting? What is its nature? Well, again, we have a contrast offered to us in verse 13 that would be the opposite to what fainting is, that perhaps allows us to understand the nature of fainting. So we rely upon the context of the Scripture here to paint for us what it is that we take as our subject. I present first then the immediate context. We're going to look just at the words of our text, those words that we say are there for us to consider and just see what they say and maybe offers to us an explanation. So we look at our text. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So you might say, well, the very first thing that you can learn about what it means to faint is that it is the opposite of believing to see the goodness of the Lord. In other words, it is unbelief. Unbelief. We would say that the man who believes in the Lord, the man who trusts, the man who is characterized by what David says at the end of this verse, is that man who has concluded with himself that the Lord will do as he has said and the Lord will be as he has shown himself to be before. The Lord will always be the same. The Lord will always do as he says. A man of faith believes that. A man that's of such a heart is a man that we would say is a man at peace, resting in the Lord. Wherein then, what is then fainting? I will suggest to you that fainting is simply asking the question or allowing to filter into the mind the question, will the Lord do as he has said or done before? Do you almost hear a bit of a hiss when I say that? For the first elements of unbelief were seen in Eden when the serpent asked of Eve, hath the Lord said? Can you believe him? Can you really believe him? Because the Lord knows in the day that you eat of this, you're going to be like him. So, has he really honestly said? Unbelief begins when you question your God. When you say, I do not seem to see that he is as he has said he is, or will do as he has said he will do. My perception then, I say you faint when the conclusion of your mind is the Lord will not do as he's promised. You see, nobody does. Nobody has that problem. You have that problem every day of your life. Will the Lord really do what he says? Will the Lord really produce in my heart what he says he will? Will the Lord actually bring to me what he has promised? Will the Lord, it seems to me, and it, by all my powers of perception, it certainly seems to me that God will not be or do what he has said. What evidence do we use to bolster our perception? What is it that you and I use? What do we look at? What is it that we consider that bolsters our conclusion? You know, the Lord's not going to be for me what I need Him to be. Why? How could things be as they are now? If the Lord truly was for me, if the Lord was really going to be, as He said, if it is true, as David said at the beginning of the psalm, the Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? If that is true, why are things as they are now? You know, the great majority of afflictions that we face in our lives and in our hearts, the pain of those afflictions, I say, comes because it seems to us that all of our circumstances appear to line up in opposition to faith. Can you see them? Here I am trying to stand in faith, and here's all the circumstances. They line up like a great army. There on the side of the hill, you can see them rank by rank, file by file. All my circumstances are proving to me that my God is not going to be what He said He is going to be. And you know what happens when you start looking at circumstances? I'm going to be very, very deep and theological at this moment. When you start looking at your circumstances and consider how they're lined up against you, you dig a hole. And you jump in. And you find that from your hole you're having trouble getting out. I'm so depressed. I'm so downcast. I look at everything and I just, oh, woe is me. Child of God, when you start looking at your circumstances and you start listening to what your circumstances are going to say in opposition to faith, you have dug a hole and you have fallen therein and you're not going to get out. And people say, I wonder why I'm depressed. When we lean upon our own reason, and when we try to understand our way through our problems, we're in a place where nothing will make sense. Nothing will be right. Nothing will be clear. Nothing will be level. Nothing will seem to be as it should. You're never going to have a right footing while you are considering your circumstances and how they line up against what God says in His Word. You know, I have said it myself over and again, and I believe this, but I have to qualify myself. You have heard me say, and because I have heard Dr. Karen say, that right thinking leads to right living. And that a problem with most men when they get into circumstances that seem to oppose their faith, most often their thinking is not right, or perhaps their thinking is not at all. They're not thinking at all, they're just not thinking. You know, I don't think necessarily, and this is why I qualify myself, I don't think that men always fall into a circumstance where they find circumstances opposing their faith and they get depressed or whatever because they're not thinking right. More, I think it is that they are trusting in wrong thinking. Oh, I know how to think right. I know what is right thinking. I know the Bible says this. Here's my right thinking. The Bible says the Lord is faithful. That is right thinking. It's not that I don't know what right thinking is. The problem is I trust in my wrong thinking. Why do we trust in wrong thinking? You want me to give you a line that you say nobody believes or nobody says this? Yes, they do. We tend to think in our wrong thinking because we find it in some perverse way more honest. I'm just being honest. Here's all my circumstances. Here's how they are lined up against me. Here's all the problems. Here's all the things that cause me to fear. I'm just being honest by giving way to them and not trusting God. I say fainting is anti-faith. It is unbelief. It is the opposer to faith. Further, I would suggest to you that unbelief or fainting denies all hopeful reality. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. He says, see. So we're coming to the context again of the verse here to understand what fainting means. He says, I had believed to see. See, meaning senses, meaning I behold, I actually am able to look at and to be able to say, here it is. May we put it like this, perhaps the word see denotes a close-up experience. I have believed, I will have a close-up experience of God's goodness to me in the land of the living. I will be able to see it by undertaking the power of my senses. In other words, the man who says, as David does, that he will see, is the man who says, I shall most certainly, with truth, in reality, behold the blessings of God. Unbelief, however, comes alongside and says, but you are mistaken. You are mistaken. Don't you know? Don't you know that if you see a blessing of God, it won't last? Have you ever told yourself, have you ever felt that? If the Lord were to bless us, it wouldn't last. It's only temporary. If you thought you saw the Lord's blessing and somehow it appeared that this was the Lord's work, understand that you have just deceived yourself. Here's a false hope. Indeed, fainting and unbelief says to the heart of the believer, you will never see the thing that you hope for. May I suggest to you something? And again, I don't know, and maybe I am being overly illustrative or pictorial or allegorical in my... Do you know what the greatest orator in existence is unbelief. Unbelief is the greatest orator ever been known to man. He has a very, very simple sermon, which strikes us as being of very good sense. I suggest to you that unbelief preaches this. Spiritual blessing cannot really be seen anywhere. It is a myth. You have to make your own blessing, so you'd better get busy. Get busy trying to fix your own life. Don't rely upon the Lord. There is no such thing as spiritual blessing. There's no such thing as the power of God. You make your own blessing, so get out there and manipulate your circumstances. Get out there and do. A very simple. You say, you're being funny. Am I really? Do we not see this in operation nearly every day in our lives? That our own unbelief comes and tells us, God is not going to bless you, so you better do something yourself. You better work something. You had better produce something for yourself. Further, if we just take this verse at its value, face value rather, you could suggest then that unbelief denies the character of God. He says, I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. It is against what is the goodness of the Lord. What is goodness? When we talk about the goodness of the Lord, tonight I would suggest to you that that is a reflection of the character of God. That word goodness can mean beauty. I had believed to see the beauty of the Lord. How wonderful, how pure, how upright, how holy, how loving, how good is the Lord. I say fainting is that which is the denial that God is actually this way. God is not really good. God is really harsh. God is not really kind. God is really cruel. Again, someone may say, but nobody ever believes that God is that way. I can take you to somebody who thinks that. I know people who have concluded that God is not fair because God has done this and this and this, and that's not fair. I suggest to you tonight that that is the product of fainting. To conclude that is the product of unbelief. It is that which goes against the character. To look at the circumstance, to behold the circumstance, to embrace the circumstance as if that is the proof rather than the Lord and His Word. Let me just give you an example. How, if you were to take Joseph and the circumstances that Joseph fell into, or to take Job, or to take Daniel, who was thrown into a den. You'd think all of these men would look at the circumstance and most certainly conclude, what has happened to me is not fair. Daniel was on his knees blessing his God. He gets hauled away to a lion's den. Is that fair? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into a fiery furnace because they will not bow down and worship a false god. Is that fair? Joseph, who did nothing but tell his brothers of what he had seen in a dream, they cast him in a pit and then they sell him to the Midianites and there he is off to Egypt. Is that fair? But the circumstances are so awful. Did God turn those circumstances? Did God use those circumstances both to mold His man and to do a work for His namesake? Oh, may we not be those who allow ourselves to say, because my judgment is that this is not fair, then I can say, God is not good. God is not... Oh, that is fainting. And then the last thought I have here about the subject at hand. Unbelief is a denial of grace. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Land of the living. In this life. You know there is no such thing as grace in heaven. Just think about that. You say, well, how can you ever say that? Because there's no need for grace in heaven. We don't have to have the grace of God to believe because we'll have all things open before our eyes. We won't have to have the grace of God to rise above our sin because there won't be any more sin. We won't have to have the grace of God to endure affliction because there will be no more affliction. All the things that you would say, I need the grace of God to be able to endure these things. Those things have been removed. We are now in the presence of the Lord, enjoying the Lord with nothing. No hindrance or need of enhancement of ourselves, as it were, to be able to behold Christ. We will be as that bride without spot or wrinkle. I know some people say, boy, you're treading on some interesting ground here. No, I just am simply saying you will not need to be made other when you reach that place. You will not need to be enhanced in your heart when you reach that place. Grace is for the land of the living. Grace is for this life. Grace is what you and I need as we walk through these days because we do have those hindrances, because we do have those blindfolds, because we do have all those things that weigh upon our hearts and cause us to fear and to be afflicted, as it were. Unbelief says, God's gracious benefits which He gives to His people to cause them to go on with Himself and for His glory, they won't be given to me. Grace is... You know what your conclusion about grace is? Do men deny the existence of grace? Does unbelief tell you there is no such thing as grace? No. Unbelief, do you know unbelief preaches very loudly that there is such a thing as grace? Unbelief is very pleased to even point away to all the things that grace produces. Unbelief is able and more than willing to point out grace in somebody else's life. But you know what unbelief says about grace? Not for you. Oh, it's there. It's beautiful. Oh, look what it does. But it's not for you. Fainting. The idea of fainting entails, then, I say, a denial of all that God is and says and has done. Question. Do believers, those who are truly in Christ, ever struggle with fainting? There is a school of thought, I will suggest, that says absolutely not. Because if you're truly saved, if you're truly a child of God, you never faint. Boy, I wish I could meet somebody like that who I could say, ask him the question, how did you ever get to that point? Doesn't Paul tell us plainly in Hebrews, you say, well, you're supposing that Paul wrote Hebrews. Okay. I confess. Are we not told in Hebrews that you are able to faint in your minds? Yes, yes, absolutely yes. What is the answer for fainting? It is to really analyze and understand in full those circumstances that are lined up against you. Wrong answer. It is to resolve that even though you understand those things that are lined up against you, that you will stand firm and prove to be stronger than those circumstances. Wrong answer. What does the Scripture say? For, consider Him which bore such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye grow weary and faint in your minds. What's the answer for all this unbelief stuff? What's the answer for all the fainting and everything that we've been talking about? What is the simple answer? Consider Jesus Christ. Or as David puts it, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord Jesus. Get yourself before the Lord. Put yourself before the Lord. Let your mind and heart be centered upon what the Scripture says is true about Jesus Christ and what His work is for you. You center your mind on that, as opposed to looking all the time at your troubles. And you'll find that the Lord will strengthen your heart. The man or woman who cannot but do anything but look at the troubles is the person who's going to faint. On the inverse of that, the person who has his mind and heart set upon the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be that one who will find his heart strengthened. We might ask this evening, well, how about us? Is there anything that we went over tonight, anything that we have to wrestle with? I didn't hear an answer from anyone, but I say, oh, yes, you do. And I do too. The encouragement is this. Let us be a people, though, that are swift to run to the Lord Jesus, that are swift to turn our hearts and minds to Calvary. Wait on the Lord. Look to Christ and be strengthened. Be that one who does not faint. There's no other cure. There is no other cure for fainting. There is no other spiritual smelling salts that snaps a person back to, so to speak. Your hope, your help is in the Lord, which made heaven and earth, as Psalm 121 says. Well, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. May He be willing indeed to allow this word to remain within us and to encourage us to come back to the feet of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, again this evening we are thankful for the Lord Jesus. Lord, we're thankful that in Him we have the answer to all that is against us. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt prove to us, if You are for us, who then can be against us? Who can we be afraid of? Lord, I pray that Thou wilt let us be a people who truly are both willing and able by Thy help to behold Christ and to consider Him and to walk with Him. Lord, bless now Thy word. Let it go with us, we pray, to keep our hearts and minds, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Are